This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome to the Christian War Room. And we are looking at sessions about ideas, you know, for you to set up your own war room and to go for it and to do some research in an area, to create a think tank and to oppose concepts and notions and ideas and knowledge that sets itself up against God. And that's very, very important. So it's a war of words. It's a war of philosophy. It's a war of crazy ideas which are in this world that set itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay, today I want to look at one thing which I think is very, very important to look into, and that is the whole thing, the nation of Israel. And I'm German, and my nation, my people have got a terrible guilt and a terrible thing against the Jewish people, you know, with everything that happened in the Second World War. Again, the war was over, and what we find is that a lot of, especially in West Germany, that there was an awareness of what has been happening, and that this was terribly wrong. And there was also a lot of goodwill amongst the people and amongst the politicians to try and rectify what has gone wrong. So there was an undivided and an unconditional support for Israel, for the state of Israel. And what's happened over the years is, and especially over maybe the last 10, 20 years, that this support has been waning away. And I think Germany is reaping a little bit of, you know, the things that Germany has sown in removing support for the nation, for the people of Israel, and in following a lie. And I call it the Palestinian lie. And it's very, very important that we, again, take this on board. It's a very explosive subject, and I know a lot of Arabs get very upset with me. And I don't care, to be honest. I don't care. Now, first of all, the word of God is very clear. You know, there's a promise to Abraham for the nation of Israel, that this land where the Jews are now, that is being given to the people of Israel. And that's a clear promise, yeah. But there's also a warning, and there's, you know, if they foul up, you know, God is going to drive them into exile. The Bible talks about this and goes even so far that he drives them to the ends of the world. Okay, so that's one thing. But then there's also the promise that he will fetch them from the four corners of the world to gather them together in the country, in the nation of Israel. So that is the biblical narrative. And again, there's some very interesting stuff as well. When you look at different nations and different peoples, it takes about three generations, and the identity of a nation, once they've been removed from a country and they've been positioned in a different country, takes about three generations, and then the whole identity is gone and people have got no interest to go back. And I've seen this with the Armenians. Yeah? The Armenians were in part of Turkey. Lake Van is fairly sort of in the east, and it was pretty much populated by Armenians. There were the majority there. Armenians are Christians. The Turks didn't like them. So there was a lot of warfare. There was a genocide that took place. Sorry, Mr. Erdogan. The genocide did take place. Ask any Armenian. Every Armenian will know about this. And there was a genocide that took place. And the genocide, round about the time of the First World War, was all sort of hush-hush under the carpet. But we are looking at about 2, maybe 4 million people. Nobody really knows. It was a genocide similar on the Nazi scale, what they did to in the Holocaust. They just were murdered and killed. A lot of them fled. A lot of Armenians went to France. Right towards the end, the Russians came in at one stage, protecting the Armenians. And then, obviously, there was a Russian Revolution and so on, and there was a big problem. But the huge problem in that area. But what we find is that those guys, those Armenians who went to France, it took them about three generations, and they were pretty much French people. You know, nobody really, they knew, you know, they came from Armenia, but But their identity and everything was gone away, and they didn't want to go back. A lot of them went to America, same thing, a couple of generations, and people were just Americans. And the whole thing about the heritage was pretty much gone. Germany as well. I'm a child of, I'm the second generation of people who got kicked out of East Germany. So Poland, which is today considered to be Poland. There were about 12 million people who got kicked out of, Germans, kicked out of Germany, which has been German for well over 500 years. A lot of people have forgotten about this. And again, you know, you go a couple of generations down the line, and what you find is the Poles, they moved a lot of Polish people in the towns and villages and farms where the Germans were kicked out from. And some, I think a few Germans stayed, but the majority got kicked out. So from about 12 million, you had about 2 million which were left there. And again, today we've got different realities. Nobody goes back. And people who had their own culture, they weren't Germans like elsewhere. They were East Germans. They had their own culture, their own traditions and everything. It's all gone. You know, it's all sort of being picked up by the West German culture. Many of them went to West Germany and it kind of sort of all disappeared. You know, the identity and where they were from and the different traditions and everything else they had. But here we've got the Jews. Yeah. The people God has chosen, you know, obnoxious and very stubborn, stiff-necked. That's what the Bible calls them. In the end, many of them have rejected the Messiah. Many of them actually, you know, accepted the Messiah. And when we look at the church, the Christian church, it is based on Jewish people, you know, following Jesus Christ. There's only one New Testament writer who wasn't Jewish, and that was Luke. And then everybody else, Jewish roots and Jewish origins. And Luke's only written two books. It's the Gospel according to Luke, and then we've got the Acts of the Apostles. Everything else written by Jewish people, the Bible, you know, from pretty much Genesis to Revelation, with a couple of exceptions in there. Okay, so we've got this situation. God is calling them back into his country. Every war that's been launched against Israel has been won in their favor. They just gained more and more land. And now we've got the Palestinian lie. And suddenly everybody says, oh, we need to have a two-state solution. And it all needs to be done a certain way. And the evil Israelis, and they are just very wicked people, and so on. We need, again, I'm talking about the war room, and I'm not saying that, you know, the politicians in Israel and the Israelis, the Israeli army, that they're all angels. I'm sure they are not. But on the other side, they are fighting for survival. And most of them, they know the cost of persecution, because they come from countries where Jews are not seen with a great deal of favor. Many of them are from the Middle East, and the Quran talks about it, you know, that at the end of the days, the trees will cry out, you know, oh, Muslim, there is a Jew behind me, kill him. Yeah? That is really the idea Muslims have about Jewish people, even though they've got a limited amount of protection. But when it comes towards the end times, and the Imam of Time comes, the Mahdi, then is pretty much the end of their nation and the end of their existence. And that is all in the Hadith. So they are not very favorable towards them. And a lot of Jews from Islamic countries went to Israel. Obviously, we had Germany, where they were pretty much assimilated at the time of the Second World War. I mean, German Jews were celebrating Christmas because it was called German Christmas, Deutsche Weihnacht. And so they were fighting this. They were partly nationalists as well, or with nationalist tendencies. Really, really strange, but then, you know, we got the Nazi Party based on occultism. And obviously the devil's agenda was, you know, the devil knows very well, the Bible prophesies that the Jews will go back to the nation of Israel. And when Jesus comes back, he will be the king of the Jews. So if he can kill and eradicate all the Jews and have the final solutions, what the Nazis plan to have, then there are no Jews for Jesus to come back. And so this prophecy cannot be fulfilled. And he knows very well that, you know, he's the winner right at the end of it. So what we find is that, that there is sort of a spiritual agenda against the nation of Israel and against the Jewish people. And we can find this very, very clearly in the Third Reich, you know, what happened under Hitler, and most bizarre stuff as well. The war was pretty much over. What do they do? I mean, normally you would think, okay, mobilize every force to try and rescue whatever you can rescue. No, they started, you know, heating up on the Jewish persecution. And you think, what? You know, what are these guys doing? Are they crazy? You know, that's not really the issue here. The issue is survival of the nation and not just killing another nation. And that's the madness which was going on in those days. But you can see where the spirit is coming from and what was going on in those times. Okay, let's go back to Israel and let's go back to the Palestinian lie. The lie is that the Palestinians are a nation in their own right, that they have got a right to this land there in Israel, and that we need to have a two-state solution. And that Israel is really, really nasty and horrible because they are not willing to go back to the borders of 1967, and the Temple Mount really should belong to the Arabs. And that's pretty much the narrative we are being fed on a daily basis. When you look at it historically and you look at it in real historical terms, what we find is we had the Ottoman Empire, which pretty much controlled the whole area. It's almost like the old Eastern Roman Empire, but under Islamic control. We had the Ottoman Empire. It lasted to the time of the First World War. First World War was over. The Ottoman Empire lost. The French and the British went into this area, and they started divvying up this area. So suddenly you started having nations like Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Kuwait, yeah. Iran, Iraq, and then we've got the whole Saudi thing going on, and Afghanistan and so on. And again, when you sort of go back to this early part of the 20th century, you suddenly find that all these nations were created and borders were drawn along, and the nation of Israel was pretty much it was under British rule at the time, yeah, but it was just called, it was just part of Jordan, yeah, just part of Jordan. And so again, 49 came, and they, British mandate finished. They gave the land to the Jews, had a bit of a war, and you got the Arab and the Jewish side. They were fighting one another, and some random borders got created. Then we had the 67 war, we had an expansion of some sort or another, and before, it was controlled by Jordan, that area. After that, it was controlled by Israel. Okay, now it's a big question. Where does it come from that the Palestinians have got a right to their own state? They never had their own state. They were either under the Ottoman control, they were under the British control, they were under Israeli control, but they never really had their own state. You know, otherwise, what are you going to do? Are you going to split up Jordan as well? Because there are big Palestinian populations within the Kingdom of Jordan. Are you going to do the same with Syria? Because when you look at Syria, we've got the Kurds, which we've seen with, you know, recent developments. We've got the Kurds. We've got Christians in there. We've got Armenians in there. We've got, you know, Turks in there. We've got Syrians in there. We've got Hezbollah people. What are we going to do? You know, are we going to give them all the little states and so on? And yet, we've got this big question. And when you look at the UN, pretty much every resolution is against Israel and Israel needing to secede territory for the Palestinians, even though, you know, militarily and economically, it would be a big disaster for Israel if they went ahead with that. And if they gave them full control, we've got the problem of, you know, you give them in Gaza control and suddenly all you find is that rockets are, IDEs are built and just put into Jewish civilian populations, yeah, where people are just terrorized by these people across the border. And the reason they can do it is nobody controlling them. Before they gave Gaza self-control, there was Israeli military within this area. And probably people had better living standards and better, you know, more peaceful living than what's happening now. Now it's under the control of Hamas. And Hamas, all they want to do is just kill Jews. Yeah, and that's really, and that's okay, seemingly, in the world. That's, nobody complains about this madness and this hate which is there. That they've got radio stations which are blasting out anti-Jewish propaganda and tell the children, their own children, to become martyrs and to dream of becoming a suicide bomber. And this is sort of the madness which is going on, that the world doesn't want to see this, but there's this blindsidedness. You know, Israel, the probably only democratic state in the Middle East. I mean, when you think about it, there's no democracy, real working democracy in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iran, in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt. I mean, you can vote and all that, but the democracy doesn't work very well. Yeah, it's not there. They're very sort of autocratic, and it's a big problem there. Yeah, in when you look at North Africa, pretty much all countries are taken over by military regimes. But there's this one democracy in the Middle East, the only one that works, and everybody is vilifying those people there. Okay, what do we need to do in the war room? Now, I don't know the full story, and I don't know what is going on there, but what we need is we need people to observe what is going on in the Middle East. And what we find is that as we are heading towards the end time, these things are going to mount up more and more. And what we find as well is this is unreasonable meddling by European, by Western powers, and by Arab powers as well, who, you know, try to dissect the Jewish state, try to destroy the Jewish state, and are pretty much opposed against it now. And they are coming up with all these arguments, yeah, you know, with the two-state solution stuff, and you need to be, you know, have lots of concessions to these people and condemn Israel for, you know, their desire to just live in peace. That's pretty much all it is. But from a Christian perspective, there's also a divine calling upon that nation of Israel. And God has promised a certain amount of land to these people. God also told the Israelis to look after the stranger in their country. And they're doing this as well. Sort of Arabs living in the Israeli part of that strip. They are free to vote. They are free to serve in... I'm not sure whether they can serve in the army. I think they've got the choice. They don't have to. But they pretty much enjoy all the rights the Israelis enjoy, as well the Jews enjoy. So it's very, very important. Number one is to pray for that, because the Bible tells us to pray for Jerusalem and for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to keep our eyes open and also to look at this whole conflict that is going on there, not with a left-wing propagandized viewpoint, but we need to look at that objectively and also report objectively. And again, we're talking about this war room. What we need to do is we need to have people who gather information from the conflict that's going on there and feed it to Christian news outlets, feed it to people who are proclaiming the truth according to the Bible. That's number one. But also objectively report what is really going on there. And this conflict that you are seeing there is not that straightforward. Yeah, it's not that straightforward. And it's not pretty much what you've been told. Yeah. They see the Palestinian lie, and this has been going on for about 50, 60 years. And everybody's being fed this lie. And the result of this lie is the conclusion that these guys need to have their own state and that this state has to be within their territory. And it's a little bit of a problem. It's a little bit of a problem. We need people to latch onto this and to analyze what is going on in the Middle East and present this to this world. Okay. War room activity. The whole Israeli thing. What else? When we go to the Israeli thing, we need to look out as well what is going on in the Middle East. And I want to tell you a lot of stories. We've got the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring was just one big lie. There's information coming through. There's more and more information coming through that it's all been manufactured, that it was deliberate to destroy governments who were quite autocratic, but they were kind of keeping the taps on a lot of craziness that is going on in Libya. So, for example, Gaddafi, I mean, just before they got him, he was making comments that that the Western powers are crazy, you know, what they're doing, because in the end, they're just feeding to Al-Qaeda. It wasn't Al-Qaeda who came, it was ISIS who came and pretty much took over big stretches of Libya. And we, a little bit later, got all the films and all the materials of Egyptian Christians being murdered in Libya by these Islamic radicals. Whether it was just staged, it was real, who knows? But there was certainly a lot of this stuff going on. The control of this country is pretty much being lost. And all we can think, and it seems that all who's organized this whole thing and is being responsible for this is politicians. Yeah? A bunch of politicians who were just feeding weapons to groups of people who then in turn started wreaking havoc in those countries. And nowadays we've got this very unstable, very damaged nations who are impacting Europe. And I can see this on a daily basis when I go to my hometown and I see what has been happening in the Middle East and, you know, the people who have been responsible for that. I mean, people, politicians, they try to have a go at Assad and find any reason to try and incite a war against him. And I'm talking specifically about the Obama administration. Yeah, he was desperate to try to get a war against Assad. I'm looking at some of the European politicians as well, who are pretty much all in the same thing. And then you look at, it's supposed to be this gas attack and things like that. You look at some of the video material which is coming from these gas attacks, and it looks that they're just a bunch of actors, crisis actors, putting something up or setting something up. And again, it's a problem. We don't know what is really going on, you know. Is this just some film material that's been fed to the fake news media? And they, in turn, picked up this material and presented it, and yet it really has happened. There really was a gas attack. Or is it all just being a propaganda act from beginning to end, that there was no real attack? And all the information we get, which has been let out, is fake, with the aim to try and authorize a war against Assad. We don't know, but the problem is, what we know is that pretty much all the countries in the Middle East, okay, so when I look at Lebanon is destroyed. You look at Syria is destroyed in many aspects. I look at Iraq is destroyed. It used to be one of the prime nations. Even though Saddam Hussein was, not the nicest guy to be around with, but it used to be one of the premier nations. I've got some Iraqi friends, and they were telling me what life was like before all this stuff happened. And it was just like in Europe, you know. They had a very high living standard. They had very high levels of education. There was a lot of progress there. There was a lot of stuff happening, and it's all been destroyed. Okay, we're looking at Egypt. Egypt, the same thing. Christians under immense amount of pressure now. Because with all this Arab Spring and all this democracy, blah, 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 a lot of rights have been eroded, and they are now in dire straits. Algiers, Tunis, so-so, yeah, but the news we're getting through from there is that people are getting shot and murdered on the beaches. And we've got a big problem, big, big problem. And then we've got Libya completely destroyed. Yeah, and so the story goes on and on and on. What we need is, in the Christian war room, we need somebody to collect all this information, to find out what is really going on in the Middle East, and what are the politicians doing to also hold politicians to account. I mean, we know that when we look at sort of some of the historical data, that it seems to be a lot of stuff was initiated by the Obama administration, and that Hillary Clinton had her fingers in the pie as well, doing a lot of stuff in this area. And obviously, it's not about name calling, but people need to understand what is going on. You know, what are people trying to do? Hillary Clinton makes a decision to start the Arab Spring, and a few years down the line, we end up with 1 million refugees in Germany. You know, Germans have to pay for, and Germans have got nothing to do with this conflict. It's just been initiated by some crazy stuff which went on, and then then we've got this. Egypt as well, you know. They got the Arab Spring. They got a guy called Morsi in power. And I remember when I was in the Ukraine, I was listening to the news. And again, I don't know whether this news is true or not, but this Morsi guy, you know, this Islamic fundamentalist, he came up with the idea that the pyramids are pretty much un-Islamic and he wanted to raise them to the ground. That is news which came through in the Ukraine. I haven't heard it in the West. I haven't heard it on any other news outlet. Is it true or not? I don't know. But it gives you the idea of the craziness that is going on and the craziness of, you know, a falsely understood concept of democracy that's imposed on nations like that in Egypt. And suddenly you get people in power who are giving headaches to the people they are supposed to rule and control and to other nations as well. And so we need to have a war room. And the war room, again, should consist of, number one, people who pray into the situation, who understand what's going on in the Middle East, who understand what's going on in places like Iran, like Iraq, like Libya, like Syria, who know and understand what's going on with the Christians who live in these places, who can report on persecution that is going on. And again, I heard tons of stories from Syria where Christian villages were overrun by ISIS people, and where people were collecting money for the defense of these Christian villages in Syria, and nobody was caring for them. The West didn't care for them. The West didn't support them. They didn't give them any weapons to defend themselves. Syria didn't support them. There was some support from Russia, but again, nobody really knows. These people were pretty much left to their own devices and left at the mercy, and sometimes it was just the Kurds. So we're just going in there, the YPG, and helping these guys not being overrun by ISIS and being, you know, shot to smithereens and their wives being taken as war booty and as concubines. Really horrendous stories, but we need to have people who gather this information, who collect this information, who present it to the world, and who bypass the media, who's not interested in that. The media is not interested in Christians suffering in these regions. But we need to let the world know. We need to pray about this. We need to give people an opportunity to pray into this situation and to have a war of words going on and a war of prayer, a spiritual war being activated in this region so that people, that Christians can survive and that those who do not know the word of God, that they will, that the gospel will reach out to them and that it'll go into these regions and that we can present the truth to a world that's being lied to from A to Z by the dominant media and by the people who are seemingly in charge in this world. Lord, we just want to pray for your people, Israel. We want to thank you, Lord, that you have called the Jews back into their country, into their nation, and that you will come back soon and set up your throne in Jerusalem. We want to praise you, Lord, for your protection over your nation, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we pray, Father, that truth will come out, that it'll not just be politics filled with lies, but, Lord, that the truth will be spoken over the Middle East, and that the people will have an unbiased view on what is really going on in the Middle East. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in the Middle East who are persecuted and, Lord, who suffer a great amount of persecution and a great deal. We pray, Lord, that you will be with them, that you will strengthen them. And we pray for war rooms as well to pick up on information from the Middle East and to feed it to the rest of the world, to have some neutral, some real and truthful reporting going on worldwide so that people can pray into these situations. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.